on 97.5 and 102.5 FM, DAB and online at pulse1.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 1 with Provident, lending a helping hand since 1880. Visit provident.co.uk.
Good evening, Rugby League fans. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with me, the Earl of Rugby League, Leon Price.
And me, the little general, Luke Robinson.
Tonight, we're going to take over the show as Robbie became a father for the fourth time on Sunday. We'll be chatting to the little Chinese man later in the show.
Coming up, producer Ewan will throw in some of the major talking points from the week. And as usual, we'll be chewing the fat off the next hour. So, to be fair, we're probably just going to wing it at me and Leon. So, just stay with us.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show.
The Robbie Hunter Paul Show. News and views.
Right then, Robbo, where do we start?
I don't know. Are you the boss or me? I'll be honest. It said the Luke and Leon show. I didn't get that in, did I? It says here in front of me on a script, the Luke and Leon show.
Which I'm not too happy about, to be honest. Where do we... Rob, I know we don't like talking about ourselves much. Well, I don't anyway. But where, how do we come across this and do it right? How do we pull rank? Who pulls rank?
Oh, I don't know. If it goes on looks, obviously I win. If it goes on age, you win.
Okay, then. Well, we'll go on age. Anyway, what we'd like to do is just reassure all you fans out there usually tune in. There's been a few people in the papers jumping ship this week, you know. Farage, Cameron.
Chris Evans.
Roy Hodgson, Chris Evans. But we'd like to reassure you that Robbie Paul's not jumping ship. He and his beautiful wife, Natalie, have had a baby girl on Sunday morning. I'd like you to pronounce the name, please, Robbo.
Is it Amelie? I can't pronounce the middle name, though.
Athena.
Athena.
Amelie Athena Hunter-Paul, born on Sunday morning. She's a beautiful baby girl. Both baby and mother are doing fine, so we'll speak to Robbo later in the show to catch up and see how they're doing. So,
is he on paternity now from Bradford as well?
Yes, he is.
So he's taking his full 2 weeks, is he?
Full 2 weeks.
Nice.
Paid leave.
Could you imagine if us players, we did that?
Well, I think we should be able to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think you should. But somehow I don't think Robbie and the rest of the CEOs...
We'll be too happy about that, would we?
No.
So we're doing his dirty work for him tonight and hosting this show, so we'll see how we go. Let's have a what's been going on this, Robbo. I know you boys had a good win against us this week. Let's talk about that to start with then.
Yeah, I'll be honest, you know, we came against you boys with the high flyers in the league. You rested a few, to be fair, though, didn't you? You had Watsey, Jadu, the one Ellis, which obviously big players.
Jeremy Shaw.
Yeah, and obviously Jeremy's been playing awesome. So three quality players, but let's be fair, the players you put in were still good players, weren't they?
Me. They've been resting me, and I'm the captain of the bomb squad. I came back in and we got smoked, so well done, Leon.
No, but you know that, look, listen, let's be fair, when you look at your playing roster and you look at that team sheet, it's still class. And for us to get a win over, you know, Hull FC, by my own admissions, I'd like to say me and Spugger and Andy Kelly did the dream team coaching team and pulled it off, but you didn't play to your best, did you? You didn't play to your full potential.
Yeah, but we didn't do, but a lot of that had to do with the conditions and the kicking game, you boys, which has shown you'd obviously prepared properly during the week. And, you know, sometimes when in the months that come to a very important time of the year, the championship games, the semi-finals, the finals, the grand finals, it's wet weather rugby, and that's when you've got to change the way you play. You can't go in a wet weather rugby, wet weather games, throwing the ball around like, you know, champagne rugby like you can do in the summer. So you've got to change your game plan. We didn't do so. You played the conditions better and a much deserved win. I think we've got a bit of audio from Andy Kelly on the night. Ewan?
It was good tonight. I was really pleased for the boys. I thought they worked from the Wakefield game. They've worked really hard, been really honest. And that's all you can ask of players when they accept some responsibility and then get the right response. And really pleased for them. I also need to mention Chris Thorman tonight. He just worked in the background doing the review, the preview. He's worked tirelessly. And I thought, again, testimony to him, we played the right way tonight.
Well, massive win, like I said, for you boys. I've known Spuggy, Chris Thorman, for a long time. I've played against him when we were kids. I think he's just about 6 months or a year older than me. A great lad. Always had a lot of talent as a player. But what's he brought to the coaching team and to the team? What does it feel? Because obviously there's been an improvement over the last 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, look, you know, you sometimes get that. When a coach leaves, there's a bit of, I don't know, a little bit of burden lifted sometimes and a little bit of relief around the place. And that just happens, you know, when sometimes a coach has reached the end of his days. But I think more than anything else is Andy Kelly's really, really smart because he realises he's not in tune to the modern-day game, really. He says he's been out of the game for a long time. he understands the game, he understands rugby, but more than anything else, he's a man manager, he's Andy Keller. Everybody loves him. Everyone likes the bloke. I've never met anybody who don't like him, and the players play for him. But you know what probably makes him even better is he also understands his limitations and said, look, Spugger, you've been in around the first team squad a lot more than I have over the past 10 years.
Which is smart, Robbo.
Very clever.
But the thing is, this is the problem. A lot of people, a lot of fans, and probably a lot of players, even myself, up to a certain point of playing in your career, don't realise is the best coaches are not always the most gifted tactically. They don't have these amazing drills. They don't have these amazing systems of style of play, amazing defensive structures. They don't. What they do is they get the best player. They get the players wanting to play for them. And I think, like you just said then, from Andy Kelly, he's found a way of getting the players to play for Spugger, to listen to what he said. I think that's a sign of a good coach, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is, mate. You kind of liken it a little bit to Clive Woodward within Rugby Union. I know they've got a lot more money than us, but even so, he puts people in the best kickers, coaching kickers in looking after Johnny Wilkinson, the best backs coach, the best forward. He oversees everything, like you say, gets people playing for him, and that's what Andy's done. I'll be honest, it's me and Spuggy are doing a lot of roles at the moment, because we've got the first team in the morning, we have the under-19s, because I'm officially the under-19s coach now, but obviously me and Spuggy having to do both roles, and then I think he's watching under-16s, so...
So you're a busy, busy man.
I feel like I'm in the real world. I've got a proper job for once.
I'm not far off you, mate. I'm not far off you. Next, let's move on, Robbo. Leeds versus Widnes. Real surprise here. 22-23 goal, drop goal kicks in the last minute. What's your thoughts on this one?
Not good for us.
No.
I'll be honest, we had a great win against you boys, and then every other result just seemed to go against us, really. I mean, do you know what? We keep saying it, though. We're expecting Leeds to bounce back. We keep waiting from the quality they've got within their roster, but it's just not happening, is it, for them? They're struggling still.
Well, if people out there don't really know, this defeat confirms that Leeds now will be in the bottom four playoffs against all the Championship teams. Now that is confirmed. We've been expecting them to come back all season, never quite done so, and I think you've got a bit of audio over you and from Brian McDermott from the night.
Take the context of what today meant, and obviously that's tough for everybody, you know, and you know everybody rightly is disappointed and there's some anger out there and frustration, and we get that. But if you were to say it the context of it, that was a good performance. I thought that was a good performance, and I thought we defended really well.
I know, but Rob, I'm gutted for Macca, and Macca's one of my old friends. And you know, you talk about taking the performance out of it, but at the end of the day, it's a result-based business. And how much time have they got left there at Leeds, do you reckon, Robbo?
What, McDermott Leeds' season?
Leeds' season, you know, Brian, at the end of the day, will be judged on his results. He's obviously been given time because of the great work he did, I say, winning the treble. He's won trophies on numerous occasions with Leeds Rhinos, but how long can this keep going with the results going against him?
I don't know, because you know what, we understand as well at Huddersfield, and I've tried to instill it in the boys, that how tricky it's going to be going to the middle eights. This ain't going to be a walk in the park. When you go up against the likes of Lee, Bradford, Halifax, Batley, whoever it may be, Featherstone, London, them teams are going to want to get one over. And they're difficult places to go, you know, playing up Mount Pleasant. So it's not going to get any easier for Leeds. You'd like to think that with the playing roster they've got, the quality that they've got within the squad, that, do you know, that they're going to breeze through that. But like I say, could you imagine how excited a Batley player is going to get to play at Headingley against them players? Do you know?
Yeah.
It ain't going to be easy for Leeds. It ain't going to be easy for us if we're in there, or Hulkey are, or Widnes, or whoever else is going to be in there. It's going to be a difficult middle eight. So, yeah, putting a timescale on how long they've got left, I don't know. It's a tricky one.
I'm looking at it like from this point of view. Leeds will go into the playoffs. I think they'll survive. I think you'll survive quite easily. There'll be tough games, but I think you'll do it. It's far too much quality. But next year, if they don't strengthen and they stay the same and the results continue to happen the same, how long can they keep on going? Because they're a successful club and you brand Leeds with success.
Yeah, and I'll be honest...
That's my thoughts. How long can their run of, you know, inconsistency, how long can it continue before something major's got to change at the club?
Oh, I don't know. I liken Leeds a little bit to the golden generation of Manchester United. They had like a core group of players that came through at the same time. And Paul Scholes, Beckham, you know, Nicky Butt, all them Ryan Giggs. Leeds are a little bit similar. They had Danny Maguire, Burrows, Sinfield. They all sort of came, Jamie Jones. They all came through at a similar age. And I'll be honest, they're not getting any younger. Danny Maggs, Rob Burrows, all
Jamie
them
Jones.
Players. Jamie Jones, you know, They already lost a bit of a nucleus last year in obviously JP and Sinet, but then in the next year or 18 months, they're going to lose the next crop as well. So
agreed.
You know, he's likened it a little bit as Jamie Jones Buchanan to the Phoenix, and it's, you know, and all that palaver that he said. And
I liked it. We're good.
Oh, mate, it's great. I could listen to him all day, but he's obviously, you know, regenerating, growing from the ashes and all that. So I think it's going to be a couple of years before they get.
We'll get going again. Okay, well, we've still got a lot more interesting topics to talk about, especially the Bradford Bulls result against Lee, and lots more interesting stories from Super League coming up next.
Big names and big stories from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Leon Price and Luke Robinson.
Welcome back to the Luke and Leon Show, talking nothing but rugby league for the next hour. No Robbie tonight, he's home with Amelie, his new addition to the family. So it's just us tonight. So let's start off with something that I know is close to Leon's heart.
Come on, hit me.
The Bradford result.
Hit me hard.
Where does that stand? Where does that put Bradford this year?
Well, let's put it this way. The Bradford Bulls, obviously, you know, Rob, over the years we've been a very successful club. But I think that it'd be a very massive kick in there. You know, not a good place if they didn't even make the playoffs. I know that Mark Green's invested a lot of money into the club. I know he took on a little bit of a chance when he took on Jimmy on board as, you know, a new coach and trying to get us up there. I know Steve Ferris has been working really hard behind the scenes to get the signings right, and for whatever reason we're just lying outside the top four. I know the new coach is working really hard. Rowan Smith's working really hard to get us up there. But I think as a club, speaking from somebody who only looks from the outside now, it's not good enough for Bradford to be not even making the playoffs when we're a full-time squad that's only just 2 years out of Super League.
Quite hard for Rowan, isn't it? Coming in halfway through the year, you know, it's not, let's be fair, they're not his players, they're not his squad. They're not, the one that is initially his sort of culture and his way of playing the game. So to take over halfway, it's quite hard to sort of judge him, isn't it?
I don't think he will be judged on these results. I think if he gets us up there, it'll be a masterclass. If he don't, it won't be his fault. So he's got nothing really to lose. What he's got to do is reassemble the squad and make it competitive to try and get in the top four. Because really and truly, you don't want to just get in the top four. You want to compete against yourselves, against Leeds, if you guys are in there, against your Wakefields. Whoever's down there, you don't want to just be there and playing games and getting spanked 50-60-0. You want to be competing. You want to be beating them teams. You want to have a squad good enough. So that's his job now. I don't think he's definitely not to blame. But, you know, we're only 20, I think it was 20 points to 22, and they only just scored in the last minute, did Lee. So, you know, it's not all bad, and I'm hoping that they can continue to improve.
And the bigger implications, well, not only, obviously, is, you know, the pressure and the expectation, but it's also money, isn't it?
Well,
the higher you go up in that league, the more money you get. I know Halifax, that's a big motive for Halifax.
I think if you, the difference between coming fourth or not making the playoffs and finishing fifth, I think is around $600,000.
Right, wow. So it makes a massive difference, doesn't it?
So
that literally can set your foundation for the next year, the next 2 years, doesn't
absolutely.
It? Especially to
those clubs. So the implications are absolutely huge. So I'm glad Robbie's not here actually, because we could drill him over that, couldn't we? He wouldn't be too happy, would he?
Yeah, nice timing, Rob.
Yeah, so you wouldn't?
I've been looking at obviously the stories that's been going on this week in the absence of Mr. Hunter Paul. So I'm going to chuck a few stories your way.
Okay.
And I want you two just to say, you know, what
just speak, just start, we're just ad-libbing it now. We're just going to go freestyle. This is what I like. Doing, I like freestyle. Freestyle's miles better.
So the first thing I looked at was the fact Rangi Chase is back in Super League, signed up for Castleford. Is that a good move for player, club, or both?
Well, this is my opinion. I'm a standoff and I play the same position him, and is the most talented player I've played against in Super League in my position, other than probably Trent Barrett. Absolute genius. There's things that he can do that nobody else in his competition can do, nobody else in the world can do. But he's a troubled soul. He's, you know, I think Rangi will be the first to admit he has, you know, problems enjoying the game and the mental side of the game. But I just want to wish him all the best. I hope he's happy. I hope he comes back and plays like he was when he was in his peak at Castleford. The guy's a genius, so he's just got to find peace with himself.
Don't you find it strange how the greatest players of whatever sport are always bordering on genius as to, you know, let's be
I
fair.
I think that's in that. Life, though, isn't it? In life,
yeah,
in general.
Yeah, you know, you look at Maradona, you look at Ronnie O'Sullivan in the snooker game, it very much reminds me of Ronnie O'Sullivan does Rangi Chase. Somebody who's a freak of the game, but sometimes...
A maverick.
He is a maverick, and he does things like
look at Robin Williams, the funniest man of all time, one of the biggest genius, and he suffers depression. Yeah. So it's that borderline, you know. It's strange. Like, I agree with him. 100%.
But yeah, he's a bit of an enigma. I think to himself as well, he's wrong. You don't know what you're going to get, and I'll be honest. I don't know whether he played his best rugby at Castleford, so I don't know if going home back to the jungle, or the Mendenhall's jungle as it's known now, is going to be more of a calming influence on him, and he's going to recreate that form.
Well, his wife's from there. His wife and his family live there. His mother-in-law, his father-in-law live there in Castleford. He's loved by the Castleford fans. So, if Rangi's found peace with himself, which I think he looks like he may have done, then I'm sure he'll get back to some great form.
And everyone knows what the old adage is, the happy wife, happy life.
Indeed.
Well, it's not with me.
Something I swear by that. So somebody else returning to the Super League is Thomas Luluai, who was re-signed for Wigan Warriors after 4 years in the NRL. 31 years old now, and he's going to take a coaching role up after his playing days are over. Again, that seems like a bit of a no-brainer, which he described it as. Good move, again.
Again, his wife's from Wigan. Everyone's just doing what the missus tells them, aren't they? You will sign at Wigan. We will sign back at Castle.
They're not stupid, are they?
No, they're not. Do you know what? His dad probably do it just for the... I know it's like, dude, you need babysitters when you've got kids, so get near your grandparents. You can have a couple of nights out with your missus now and again. But he had another one who had a great career at Wigan. I know there's been a lot of disruption regarding a lot of rumours, should we say, about Matty Smith, the current number seven there, you know. As soon as everyone found out that Thomas Luluai were coming back, there's been a lot of sort of doubt cast around Matty Smith's career, really, at Wigan. And Sean Wayne's come out and actually squashed them rumours and said, no, it's just competition for places. And if you want to play at Wigan, he likes people to be under pressure. He likes competition for places. And it's just a case of stronger squad, whoever plays the best players.
Smiggs is still a young player, though. I think he's only like 28, 29. I think he's very, very highly regarded within the Wigan club. I played with Matty Smith at Saints when he was just a little junior and coming through. He's one of the soundest lads out there. So I think Matt he'll still be in there, still be an integral part of the team and still be running the show, which I'm hoping.
Okay, and lastly from me in this particular segment, our friend of the show, Mr. Kukash, has been on Twitter again. You know what that means, bit of controversy. So last night, he tweeted the following, listen to this. I would like to apologise to anyone at the RFL that I have not offended. Please be patient and I will get to you shortly. So what I want to know is, what is that all about, and is there really any need for that kind of thing?
I don't know. You know what it is? We talk about him, don't we? He gets the sport, you know, he gets column inches for us, which is something that we obviously lack. On the other hand, sometimes I don't know if it's... You know, he hangs his dirty, you know, washing out in public sometimes where it doesn't need to be. It's gone to an... I think, like you said before, Leon, it's actually this one of the only times ever in rugby league history it's gone to a... Is it an independent tribunal?
I think so, yeah. I love him. I love him. There is a need for it. There is a need for it. Because there's too many do-gooders within the rugby league. There's too many people scared to say what they really think. There's too many people scared of what other people's opinions. And he just does not care. And it's nice and refreshing in life for somebody not to care what he says and just to get into people and rip in. I think it's fun. I think it's fun for the game. Once again, we're sat here on the show on a Wednesday night talking about Kukash and his tweets. And if it weren't for him, I think life would be a lot more boring. So, yeah, I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm with Leon. You know, you just hear it over and over. You know, the old cliche, you know, I just like to give credit to the other players, credit to the team. And it's just like, oh, say what you really think. Say they were rubbish, you were great. Say they're an indecision by the ref, or you know there's something going wrong. You know, it's just actually say what you think. Sometimes I think he probably crosses that line, and he infuriates people. But like Leon says, you know, it's free speech, and if he believes it, then why not say
plus,
it?
Plus, as well, you have got to remember the RFL. They've got to be held accountable now. They've got somebody constantly challenging them. Within, if it's on social media, if it's in the papers, wherever it is, it's always in the public's eye. So it also keeps them accountable. So for me, it's a good idea, and I like the fact that he keeps on tweeting about stuff. I love it.
I'll just give you a quick word as well that I've just seen that James Robey is going to make his 400th appearance this weekend.
Oh, is that what it is, for sense?
Is that Super League?
Yeah, it will be.
No, you see, this is what I'm really gutted about. I'm 1 year off getting Leon's club. Yeah. 1 year off.
Don't worry about it. It's very, very nice to be up here. I really enjoy Sire.
Honestly, when I retired, one of the things that nagged me out, as a player, you don't generally know how many games you've played. Someone came up to me and went, you want Farah 400, you know, you got it this year. And I'm like, then when I found out they're only Leon, I think, is it Sinfield, you, JP and maybe Wellow?
Yeah, something like that.
I think there's only you in it. So
I think Lynch is in there as well, isn't he? Lynch is
Lynch might be the other one, yeah.
Andy Lynch is right
there. There's not many that have got in, so a little bit good. So, yeah, it's... And do you know, he's not that old, is he?
Robbie's only 30 this year.
Yeah,
same as Raquel.
He's probably
he's got another 5 years left.
But
bear in mind
games.
As well, like there's a way that you get these games as well. You know, I played at wing, I played centre fullback, and gained a lot of games playing very, very easy positions. James Robert has played 80 minutes in the middle at hooker his career. That is two to one games.
Oh, it takes it out, yeah. It definitely takes it out when you're in that middle with the big boys. But he's a machine, isn't he?
A machine, absolutely. Yeah. He's the fittest player I've ever played with, toughest player I've ever played with. And he massively deserves it. So I'm really proud for him. Really pleased for him. So after a break, me and Rob are still winging it. We'll be talking about Wakefield potentially moving to Bellevue. The RFL plans to turn 2021 World Cup into a global event, and plenty more here on the Pulse Radio Show.
The opinions that matter from the world of rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show with Leon Price and Luke Robinson.
Welcome back to the Luke and Leon Show, talking rugby league between 6 and 7 on Pulse 1. In for Robbie, who's off on parental leave this week. And are we going to speak to little Chinaman or not?
We're trying to get hold of him.
But he's literally turned Robert, his phone off. After Bradford's result this week, he's switched his phone off.
Robbie, I know you're on leave, but you've promised that you'll talk to us, so turn your phone back on. I know you're listening to us tonight on radio, and we're trying to get in touch with you, so answer your bleeding phone.
Yeah, so we're still waiting on him to get back to us. He's got rid of us.
In the meantime, should we just talk about life in general?
Well, we could talk about Robbie's jump ship. Did anyone else jump ship this week?
Brexit. We've had Brexit, haven't we? The country's gone a little bit mad this week. See what I mean? We lost to the football Iceland. That result was just ridiculous. Boris Johnson quitting and not going for the leadership of the Conservative group. And then finally, we have the UKIP man. What's his name?
Farage.
He jumped ship. Rayo Chanese jumped ship. What else? What's going on? What do you reckon?
Robbie Paul jumped ship. Do you know what? It's a funny one for me because he literally is like everyone just sort of had a little bit of a stab in the dark and then just sort of thrown it out there and then thrown a grenade and then just gone,
boom,
let's get out of here. I don't know how this is going to react.
I want us to leave, but if we do, I don't know what the hell we're going to do.
Very, very similar to what Robbie Paul's done with us tonight. He's just thrown us in there and then just turned his phone off.
And jumped ship.
But do you know what it is? More than anything else, how does Brexit, does it affect rugby league in any way?
I don't know.
Do you know regarding the quota system?
You and you're having a disaster here. What's going on? Can I hear something?
Yep, we've got him.
Have we got him?
He's on.
Hello?
Hello?
Who's that?
It's Robbie.
Go out.
Right?
We can just about hear you. Get somewhere, some nice reception, please. Little Chinese man.
Man, I'm cooking. Cooking up a storm.
Get your cooking down and go somewhere we can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now, yeah.
Hear me now.
Yeah. Congratulations, Robert, to you and Natalie on the birth of your beautiful little girl.
Thank you very much. Oh, I'm bowing. You can't see me now, but I'm bowing.
Oh, you're always bowing. Chinese people bow every day.
To be honest, mate, I did a lot of work doing this, because the man always does.
Robert, can you, the first question is, how's it affecting your sleep? How's the sleeping pattern? Because that's obviously the first thing that goes out the window when you have a baby.
It is generally the first thing that goes out the window, but the reality is my little has been breastfed. And I'm very limited in my ability to deliver on that.
Even better. How good is it when they're getting breastfed? You're just laying at the side. Go to a different room, mate.
We've got another... I've got a two-year-old son, Sebastian, and I'm sort of running point on him at the moment. He doesn't know what's going on. He's like, wait a minute. Mummy's little boy is getting brushed at the moment, so having to share a little bit of extra time. But brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I've got to take my hat off to on-call midwives. Got to take my hat off to all midwives. But on-call midwives, absolutely amazing. Natalie went into labor at 3 o'clock in the morning, called those guys out. We had a home birth. We had a water birth, home birth.
And what was that like?
That was frightening. It was frightening. I'll admit that. But I got it. I'll take my hat off to my wife. She was so cool and just sort of had it covered. And when the mother, I guess, is comfortable and is cool, it exudes outward. So I just had to keep myself busy, really. So I was making sure the water temperature was at exactly 37 degrees and making cups of tea for the midwives and the boss. But an amazing experience. Brilliant to have it in your own home. I got to admit, I was very nervous about it because obviously if something goes wrong, you're not in the hospital where they got all the toys and tools to put everything right. But went without a hitch. My wife was a soldier, and we were left in the morning with this beautiful girl. And the first time, fate has it, plays its part, the first time my son sleeps in, he sleeps through the birth of his baby sister. But you know what was brilliant? And this is no word of a lie. No word of a lie.
Go on, then.
Just as my baby's head was entering the world, my mobile phone goes off. Guess who's calling me?
Oh, HP.
Henry.
Drunken. So in a drunken state in Dubai.
It's like the only thing you don't expect to hear, you know. Just as the baby's coming out, your mobile starts going off. And, of course, who is it? Big Brother.
HP.
The only thing I'm worried about at home, but I contemplated it, Robbie, but... is there a lot of mess afterwards? Oh. You know what I mean? I don't want to be a bit crude, but you've got new carpet, new city.
I won't lie to you, Robbo. Yes, there is. It's the man's role to clean it up.
Well, Robbo,
you're not going to expect your wife to do that, are you?
Robbo, I remember... I've known you a very, very long time, and obviously this is your latest baby, a little baby girl, but I also remember when your youngest other baby girl, Mia, was younger... And she's not so young anymore,
20,
is she?
20.
Yeah?
20 years
and
ago.
And now she's an absolute beautiful baby, a beautiful 20-year-old. And I feel like the protected uncle last night. When I'm looking at her Instagram and these photographs of her, and she's looking like a big grown-up woman. I said to you last week, my God, I feel like the protective uncle. I'm going to have to go and bash some boys. But go on, mate.
She's 20. So she's nearly 21 she's got a full-time job, and you know she's a grown-up now. But they never stop being your babies. That's the problem. They never stop being your babies. And when she's putting photos on social media and she's looking like a woman, it just sort of like it riles me.
It's scary. It's all right.
Her boyfriend's about 6'4". He weighs about 20 stone. He is a big, friendly giant. But you wouldn't mess with him.
Good stuff.
He looks after her.
Right, Rob. Anyway, we're going to have to go. It's good to speak to you. We wish you all the best.
Hey,
we're
going to catch up with you. I just want to say that you guys are killing it. Absolutely good. Loving the show.
We're trying our best. All right, Rob. Love you. See you soon.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
There he is, the little general himself.
And that's why I'm happy that I've got three boys when you're talking about all that stuff.
Robbo.
About girls.
I've got a boy and a girl, yeah? I've got a boy and a girl. I don't want to talk too badly of either of them because they're my beautiful babies. I love them. My boy is just like his mum. He's caring, he's nice, he's, loud. Yeah, he likes to be centre of attention like his mum. But, he's kind, he's kind and warm-eyed. My little girl, she's like me. She's like the devil in disguise. and she's absolutely beautiful. She's gorgeous looking, which I know obviously I'm going to say because it's my girl, but it scares me. I look at Robbie's girl now when I'll see her on Instagram and I just think, oh my word, I've got all this to come. I'm going to have to. Because at the end of the day, Robbo, we know, don't we? As a bloke, we know what we think.
You know what you think, and you know what it's like in them dressing rooms, mate, don't
you?
You
don't
know
you just...
what it's like. You know, somebody put out a thing for us, one of our physios put out, there's going to be a university student coming to speak to us regarding her dissertation, her thesis, and she wants to question a few of the lads, blah, blah, blah. Will you do it? Take 20 minutes out of your day, just do it, just be nice, The straightway thing back is, what does she look like? That's literally what lads put. Is she young or is she old? All questions like that. So the very, very superficial bunch of lads.
What do you think? Okay, let's put it this way now. You're going into your coaching career now, knowing the things that you know about, just the way that the men are, I don't know, whatever it is in sport, but if you was a full-time coach, would you have I've got to be right here, but just the having like a woman masseuse, having women physios, having that kind of influence around the squad.
Do you know what? This is something that has come up.
Be careful, remember.
I don't understand that. And it's something that's I feel quite strongly about. Really, I think that women sometimes, I don't think there's enough women involved in rugby league. You know, just because you're
for
woman,
that reason.
Yeah, and I think it's for that reason. It stems from obviously the older coaches. There might be life's changing, the world's changing. That might be dying out of the game. But I know, especially when I started, that a lot of coaches did not want women physios and women masseuses in and around the changing rooms and the dressing rooms, because they thought it'd have a bad influence and there'd be different implications that had come through that. I don't think that is the case. If someone is the best at their job, it's like with a Chelsea physio.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they're the best at their job as a physio, conditioner, even as a coach, it makes no odds what sex they are. But I do know there was a little bit of a stigma attached to it. But, fingers crossed that's dying out of the game.
OK, well, we're moving to next year. And what have you got planned for us next year? So we're winging it and we're just moving along. So I can't... Listen, guys, there's so many notes here and I'm not the brightest spark in the box.
Well, I'll give you a couple of other stories that have been
kicking
around.
Come on, give us some stories to talk about.
First, let's do with Wakefield, who were looking at ground sharing with the Dewsbury Rams because... Bellevue is not the greatest. It's a bit of a state. It needs a bit of an overhaul.
I'll be honest, Bellevue was an absolute tip, innit? it just needs change. I know I get
I say overhaul, you say tip.
Yeah, I might get in trouble for it, but...
Is that a viable option?
I've had enough abuse over the years of that ground, so I better stay a little bit back. So,
I mean, does ground sharing work? I remember when the Bulls played at Valley Parade and it was great.
That's in the same city.
Yeah, but it's still the opposite side, isn't it?
It is
still a different home.
There's still people mourning about it, weren't
there? There was.
I played there, so I loved it. So there was nothing wrong with it, but I don't know how it'd work with the fans.
There's a lot of I'll be honest. I'm at Huddersfield where we ground share with Town, and there's a friction between the Giants and Town, and it's nuts. I don't know why it is, but the same happens at the Shear. Obviously, my hometown club, Halifax. Halifax Town, Halifax RFC. There's a bit of friction.
Tension, always.
Yeah, and I don't
always.
Know. So I don't know how that would then work regarding two rugby teams when one isn't in the same town. But then again, it is on for a short spell. What they say, they're just saying there's renovations going on at Bellevue, basically.
Not too sure.
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to say. I think they're saying there's going to be renovations. So they're only going to be there for so long. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, basically, the chairman, Michael Carter, wrote in the programme notes at the weekend... quote, I was told the issues surrounding Bellevue should have been done and dusted by Easter, and here we are 3 months later, and yet nothing has happened.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of frustration on their part, I think.
Yeah, it's going to make things tricky, especially for Wakefield. The difference, I think, is that home advantage. I mean, Nathan Brown, when he came over, he said, look, a field's a field at end of the day. We just play whether home or away, but there is a different atmosphere when you're at home. You feel a bit more comfortable. The fans get behind you. And when you play, you're not playing at your home stadium. That could have a real detrimental effect for Wakefield itself.
Okay, and just another quick story just before we end this part about the RFL, who announced that they want to host the 2021 World Cup and turn it into a global event. So this has had its backing from the likes of David Cameron, Wayne Bennett, Sam Tompkins, Sam Burgess, and even Joey Barton, who's a fan of the game. He's thrown his weight behind it. Can the RFL pull that off, really?
I think we can do. There's no reason why not. Obviously, we've got the support, we've got the following, we've got the stadium, or the stadia, should I call it. So why not? I suppose the biggest thing we can do is get big names like the names that you just mentioned to push it hard. But there's no reason why we can't make it a success.
Yeah, and they're trying to put it around the country, aren't they? Not just having one fixed spot, up the M62 corridor. Look, is it 5 years? Is it 5 years from now? That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
You'd like to think that's enough time to actually push it and market it a little bit more. For example, the Four Nations this year, where they just basically, at lastminute.com, I'd like to think 5 years they can make a good push it.
Okay, so me and Robbo are just winging it as usual. up next on the Pulse Radio Show, we're going to be talking more things rugby league.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show with Leon Price and Luke Robinson.
Yo, 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 yo. We're back on the RHP Show. Me and Luke Robinson, we're just getting into the grind. We're just getting warmed up. We're just getting started. And let's talk about some more things rugby league. Jake Connor, Robbo, let's talk about it. There's no two better people to talk about him than a current LFC player and an ex-player, but he's still involved in Huddersfield Giants. So let's talk. Talk to me.
I don't know what I can say without myself getting fined. Or, do you know what it is? Listen, it's been quite obvious from... Everything's been out in the open from day one, hasn't it?
Yep.
You know, basically, yep. Hull came out very early doors and said, we have now signed Jake Connor.
Mm-hmm.
They made that statement. Huddersfield seem a little bit miffed on that because he's still under 21. For anybody out there that doesn't know, in rugby league, when they come through your development squad and academy, if they're under the age of 21, you have to give a compensation fee for them.
Yes.
The legal debate then happened that Jake Connor then goes 22, though, in November when his new contract had started. So Hull FC and Huddersfield, it looked like there was going to be a bit of a debate regarding who's in the right, who's in the wrong.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden it came into the public that Jake Connor is now going to be staying at Huddersfield, which it felt like at one point Huddersfield were going to be trying to get compensation because Hull have taken him illegally. Now it looks like it just might have flipped on its head and Hull are saying, no, we've signed him, you're taking him back, yours compensation. Right. So
by the sounds of it to me, I'm not even from a Hull player, but just from a rugby league fan, it looks like Jake Connor's had a little bit of a contract negotiations that have not gone his way. He's gone out, had a look around to see what he could get. Obviously, Hull FC are flying at the moment and have offered him a decent deal. Huddersfield have realised that, you know, we've made a mistake. We shouldn't be letting one of our best, brightest stars go into this part of this contract without offering him something decent. Then they've offered him something decent and he's gone, yeah, I want that now. But at the same time, still have signed for Hull. So now, basically, I think this is going to be battled in the courtroom and I think it's going to be... I think personally he'll stay at Huddersfield.
Well, they've come out on the Hull, though, and actually come out with this quote, haven't they? This contract is legally binding, states the player has signed for Hull FC and will join the club for the 1st of December 2016 in preparation for the new season.
Well, I'll just tell you as well that the RFL an hour ago released this statement that says the RFL can confirm that Hull FC have registered Jake Connor for the 2017 season.
Which, Paul, let's be fair...
That confirms it.
That confirms it. Yeah. It confirms that the RFL and Hull are on the same side.
Yes.
And it looks like Huddersfield... Now, you've got to be really careful because, you know, we don't know the ins and outs. Obviously, I'm a coach at Huddersfield, but yeah. I don't know exactly what's going on with
Jake. You don't need to say too much.
No, but, you know, it's a really tricky one because you've got to try and take on a 21-year-old's personal beliefs and where he feels happy. But there's also a legal aspect to rugby and contracts which you've got to stick to. So... Yeah, it could get a little bit messy.
And at the end of the day, if the player is forced to pay them legal fees, he won't be doing anything to put himself... Well, I'm sorry to say, he won't be putting himself in a position where he's got to pay out £20,000, £30,000 in legal fees. Will he just go with a club that is...
Let's be fair, he's a 21-year-old who lives at home with his mum and dad.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. We're not talking Premiership footballer here.
But legal fees are costly, Robbo.
That's what I'm saying, so I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you.
He's not going to be putting himself in that position.
No, no player ever wants to put themselves in a position. You know, we're rugby league players and they're not footballers.
Something that they could come up with is something, let's say, did stay at Huddersfield, they could say, we'll pay your legal fees, don't worry about it, keep your contract, we'll sort it out. There we go.
Yeah, it's all ifs and buts at the moment. But, you know,
the best thing for him is he had a man of the match performance last week.
Yeah.
You know, I just killed it.
To be fair, his worth went through the roof.
On Sky Sports on a Thursday night against a team that you're supposed to be signing for, kicking 40-20, setting up tries, just generally just carving up and having a good time. And
it looked like he was having the best time of his life. He wasn't just doing... Jake Connor's always been one of those players that he can do things that other players can't do. We fire balls at each other in training, he catches them one-handed and he does stuff like that. It's the little bits to his game that he probably has to improve, but they were there on the other night. He were really
good fun.
He was controlled in what he did. He rolled the ball out at the best time. He kicked the ball in the corners. Just played amazing. Now, all I could think of as I was watching the game, obviously I was getting messages from Andy and messages from Spuggy to get on at players, but... Apart from that, I was thinking, oh my God, he's
loving it.
He's killing it.
Bofalau, I don't know how you pronounce his name.
He's like it reminds me of an adult film star's name. Bonfaloon, I think it is.
Bonfaloon, okay. Bonfaloon, he's left Leeds. That today, Robbo?
I think it is, mate, yeah.
Where's he gone to, Joe? Have you know what club he's gone
we
to?
We don't know. I just saw loads of people on Twitter saying it looks like he'd be going to Salford or Lee.
Okay.
But they're just guessing, obviously.
Okay. And Seguero has come to Leeds. Is he in the squad for this weekend?
Well, do you know what? I don't watch that much NRL, but my mates that live in Perth literally just texted me this morning saying, on our little WhatsApp chat, saying, Seguero will absolutely cut Super League to ribbons.
He will do.
They seem to think that his style of rugby will really suit open game, open rugby, but you know, great footwork, quite strong, good balance, attacking player. They think he'll be class over here.
Okay, mate, I'll take your word for it. I don't watch an NRL because I don't like Australians and I don't like Australia, as I've mentioned on numerous occasions. So Australia, just once again, I don't like you. I'm only joking. So let's go on to the fixtures for this week, Robbo. On Thursday night, which is tomorrow night, live on Sky Sports 1, we have Warrington Wolves versus Salford. Talk us through that one. Who do you think, who's the key battles and who are the key players for this game, and where do you think it'll be won and lost?
Well, you know, there's a lot going on, obviously, at Salford, and we'll be speaking about Marwan Kukash, and he's going to be either a really big lift around Salford, that they've, you know, they've dominated and got over the RFL, or there's going to be a bit of doom and gloom because they could potentially have even more points taken off them, which makes every game even more important. But
Warrington are struggling a little bit at the moment as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Do you know,
they're a little bit patchy, not struggling, but patchy.
As soon as I tipped Warrington and Hull for a final, both sides have just stumbled a little bit. You know, they've still got quality personnel, and you know, and I still think that, you know, when their halves really turn it on,
they're good. Okay, LFC, Leeds, Rhinos, Friday night, Sky Sports 1, and Greg into that one.
I think LFC are going to hammer him.
You think so?
Yeah, I think you're going to hammer him. I think there's going to be a little bit of a backlash. Do you get your three key players back?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, them three players.
Full squad to pick from.
Yeah, full squad, bomb squad to pick from. I think whoever you pick in that squad is still going to have too much for Leeds. And do you know what? Even when all are struggling, it's hard to go to KC. So when they're at the top of the league, I think they're going to nip it at all.
Okay, and Wigan-Wakefield?
Wigan-Wakefield, I think it's going to be Wigan. I think, not. I won't say the wheels have fallen off at Wakefield, but they're not playing with the same confidence that they was before, and it's a difficult place to go as a DW.
Okay. St Helens-Widnes. At Saints.
You said that. You tried
after
to change
a real,
your mind
after a
then,
really
yeah.
good performance from Widnes at the weekend, after beating Leeds by a point. So they've come into some form. St Helens had a really patchy performance against Wakefield, which is not a sign of a championship team when you're beating a team 44-33 or 40-50. It's just not. It's not a good advert for a defensive game. It's good to get the win, but it's not a Saints performance. What do you reckon?
I still think Saints are just going to... Obviously, it's a derby in it as well.
Yep.
And I just like, when I go on derbies, I'd like to just think maybe, just probably go with St Helens with it being at their place.
Quickly we'll go through Castleford and Catalans at Cass.
I'm going to go Cass. It's a tricky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a tricky pitch, is that little stamp box, man. They know how to play it.
Well, I was actually over in France this weekend, and I got to watch the Catalans up close and personal, and Carney was struggling a bit with his knee. He had it heavily strapped up, and he looked like he was just cruising, not cruising, but you know, struggling with it a little bit. So his influence is massive over the team. So I think he could, I might go with Cass as well.
Yeah,
we're gonna go next. We'll go into the Championship a little bit. Let's go to just the key games. We'll go Bradford Bulls, Whitehaven.
Bradford Bulls. You'd like to think they're going to respond, don't you, after last week? And it's getting tense in here. They need to get in that top four. They're a side.
Massively.
This is a must-win.
But I'll go to a team. Let's go to a fixture that's close to your heart a little bit here, about Leeds Centurions versus Halifax. And both teams, well, Halifax especially, are fighting to stay in that top four.
Yeah, you know, the personnel that Lee have got, you think that they're going to beat Halifax. But do you know what? I'd say we, like you do with Bradford. I think Halifax have been playing some good stuff for the last few weeks and they're finding a bit of form. So I'm going to go Halifax.
You're going to Halifax. It's your team, isn't it?
Of course,
that's
it's
where,
my
it's where
team.
You're born, isn't
it?
See, I say we're born here. I'm Bradford born and bred. You're Fax born and bred. You've got to support your hometown team, haven't you?
Yeah.
And there's glory supporting, like half these Man United fans out there. So I'm going to go next game, London Broncos, Sheffield Eagles.
Oh, it's a tricky one, is that? I just think London being at London and... Do you know what? They've been playing really good stuff this year, aren't they? So I think London...
Is he over? What's the halfback called? Who for?
Come from Penrith. He signed back at London.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Soward.
Soward, is he playing?
I'm not too sure.
Oh, definitely if Sal were playing.
All right, well, tonight, guys, I hope you've enjoyed the show. We've tried our best just to wing it. We're not used to this, but we've had a good laugh, we've had a good time. That's it for tonight. Big thanks to you all, wherever you are listening. Hope you've enjoyed it.
Yeah, and stay tuned for Total Access with Elliot Hallman next up on Pulse One. And remember, as Robbie always says,
enjoy your lives, love your families, and live your rugby. Thank you very much, boys. Good night, God bless, see you soon.
This is the Robbie Hunter Pool Show on Pulse One. Wednesday evening from 6:00.